not gonna say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony?
Hey everybody, welcome. It's been a little while. A lot has happened since we last talked, so we'll just kind of go over some shit. Most of you who listen probably know that we lost our beloved Dibwee, the best cat in the whole United States. It was tough. It was very sudden. I wanted to bring it up on here. Because going through the loss of a pet is not something that I ever really understood before. And now I do. And I have some tips for everybody. Not for really going through the loss of the pet. Because that just sucks, and I don't know if there's anything you can do about it. But this is more for if someone you know has lost a pet. This is what I would recommend. I have some recommendations for you. Okay? Because, the first recommendation came about because I was thinking about doing this and was like, I don't know if I really want to talk about, you know, what happened? How did it happen? Da-da-da-da. And that's kind of the first thing I have for you is like, if you know that someone's pet is like not doing well and stuff like that, or you know they died, don't ask. Like, does it really matter to you how the pet died? You know what I mean? Does it matter to you? And if it matters to the person or if there's some significance to why or how, I think they'll tell you, right? Like, you don't need to know. If they want to tell you and you ask them about it and they want to tell you more of the nitty gritty, I think that's fine. But like, there's no reason to ask about it. Like, you don't need to know. Do you need to know? I don't think you need to know. Believe me, if this is some kind of disease that your dog might get, I will let you know. I'll be like, be aware, get them checked. Heartworm is real, you know, whatever. Don't fuck around with not getting the heartworm medication. Do you know, it's just a thing. They die, and it's horrible, because like, thing is, you know, when the cat goes, we had to help her along, and like, that's all you can think about. You can only think about the last time you spent with the animal, and like, for some people that's super extended, and for some people it's pretty short. And it's sort of like difficult because you don't want to remember them that way. You don't want to remember the last part of their life, because my office mate was like, why do we do it? You know what I mean? Like, why do we have pets and we just know where it's going to end and all that? And I was like, yeah, that's true. But I think it's like, because the end isn't the point of it. You know, the end is the worst part and it's going to be the worst part. But the rest of it's pretty great, you know? And so, and that's why. So anyway, you could just refrain from asking about that. It's not important. It's really not. So after she passed away, unfortunately, she died 2 days before Cassie's birthday. I was flying out on Thursday for Cassie's birthday, and then Cicely wasn't doing too well, so I flew out on Tuesday night instead, which turned out to be a good decision. Got to see her in the animal hospital that night, and then the next day was it. So it was a good thing I had gone out there, and we were both very sad and cried a lot. I haven't cried this much that I can remember, ever. I'm sure I have cried this much at some point, but not all like in a row like that. And I was just, you know, very raw nerve. Like, it didn't take a lot to make me cry, which is pretty unusual. And you know, I don't usually have the situation where I'll start crying and not really know why, you know what I mean? Or just kind of where it takes me by surprise. But that's been happening. And so here's another thing about it. I think that I would give the advice of, like, make it really okay for people who lose a pet to be sad. Because they're going to be really fucking sad, and they're going to feel stupid about it. Like, not everyone will feel that way. But I feel, you know, I feel that way. I understand that, like, other people have much worse pain in their lives and have had big losses. And, like, we've all lost things and people and had tough times. But, you know, someone's going to lose a pet, and it's got this added shameful element of it because it's like, well, it's just a cat, you know what I mean? But you got to understand to the person who lost it, it's not just a cat, and that's what it is. You know, so that would be my second piece of advice is, like, make it okay for them to be really sad about it, and don't worry about, you know, it's not like, well, I lost a cat and I'm super sad about that. And, you know, I didn't cry about Trayvon Martin. So it's like, obviously I'm a monster. And you're like, don't worry. Like, the person who loses the pet will be thinking these things themselves and don't need you to help that thought process along. That's not necessary. Don't worry. There's plenty of time, plenty of long nights for them to think about that. So don't worry about it. Not the time to sort of make that point, right? So Cassie's birthday, I'd given her, all of my presents were like Sicily related, which turned out to be a good thing because they were kind of like nice memorializing things. But it made her birthday pretty sad, to say the least. And so what we decided to do was... Sicily had this habit of spreading her litter like all over the house. Like, you could tell if she'd been up on the counter because there'd be a little piece of litter on the counter, or like if she was hanging out under the Christmas tree, you know, there'd slowly be a gathering of a lot of litter under the Christmas tree, right? So this was kind of her trademark. So we got this idea, and what we decided to do was on Cassie's birthday, we took little Ziploc baggies of litter and just put them all around. It was clean litter. It wasn't her fucking, you know, pee filled litter or whatever. And we just put it all over the place. So we got on the train and we went out to IKEA because that's where all our furniture is from. And she had this one blanket that was from IKEA. Cassie got it as a joke because it was like fake sort of white, long, shaggy fur rug kind of thing. Like a fake polar bear rug with no head on it. And she got it for me as a joke for my office, you know, because I was like, oh, this would make my office very, like, living room, wouldn't it? And so she got it. But then I just had it draped over the back of my couch. And when we moved in together, Sicily fucking loved that thing. Like, she would get up on the couch and then just like lay on it and like rub her face on it and stuff like that. I mean, she freaking loved it to the point where when we moved out in our separate places, Cassie's like, I guess I have to put this in my place, even though by then it was like all matted and gray and disgusting. She's just like, she just loves it too much. I can't, you know, not take it. So it was, you know, that was her blanket like that she slept on most nights. When she wasn't sleeping on our legs or sleeping wherever. So, you know, we wanted to put some litter on those blankets, and they had my bed there. So we put it like under the bed because she used to hide there a lot. And they have an ottoman like the one that Cassie has that Sicily always tried to destroy, but she had no front claws from when she was adopted. So she was never successful, but she always tried. And we just, you know, and we put it in like the showers and the sinks because that's where she liked to go. I put it in a drinking fountain downtown in Portland because I was like, she would like a drinking fountain. And we put some by the Christmas tree because you're like sitting under the Christmas tree. So we took it to the big Christmas tree downtown. We just put it everywhere. Anywhere we thought like, oh, she would like this spot or this is a Sicily thing, you know. And sometimes it was like a nice thing, like the big Christmas tree in Pioneer Square. And sometimes it was like a doormat because she liked this disgusting doormat that was in the house when we moved in together. It was like by the back door and smelled like dogs. And she just freaking loved it because it was so gross. So that was kind of our, you know, memorial, like spread her around and just kind of, I think it was our way of being like, you know, she was here and it mattered and was real, you know, made it real. And other people would come across this and they wouldn't think anything of it. Like you would never know a single piece of cat litter. That's what it was. It just looks like a little pebble, right? And they would just see that and be like, probably not think much of it, but that's like a little, hey, that was because of Sicily, right? So that's kind of what we decided to do. So I think, you know, you can be really reassuring. Like, I think it was very heartbreaking, for me, but also watching Cassie go through the whole thing. Cause she just was asking me these questions like, you know, do you think she knows that we love her? And I was like, yeah, she knows. I mean, I think you love her more than she would prefer in a lot of ways. And so I know she knows, you know what I mean? And Cassie's like, do you think she knows that we're trying to like help, that we're trying to do the right thing? And I was like, yeah, you know, I do. And I don't know, I was out visiting her. So I was sitting around a lot and just like looking online and looking up like, how do you know? Like, how do you know when it's time? And this was already after, and I was just kind of trying to be like, did we make the right choice? Like, I think we made the right choice, but like, how do you know? And you don't, you know what I mean? You don't know, but there was something Yvette said that helped me a lot, and I would share with anyone else, which is, you know, this vet said, well, it's better a month too early than a minute too late. And I was like, yeah, I think that's a great point. And he also said, you know, he's like, I describe it as like, you know, when you say things to people, they don't necessarily understand. Like I say kidney failure. So what a lot of cats have, that's what did we had. And he's like, they don't really understand. That doesn't mean anything. But he's like, I describe it as imagine you're so thirsty that you're just completely nauseated and you can't eat and, you know, you can't drink enough to feel not thirsty, and like it just kind of gets worse and worse. You can't sleep and you can't do anything, you know. And he's like, and when I describe it that way, people understand that. They know what it's like to be thirsty and nauseated and just feel utterly terrible. So I think that that's the thing too, is reassuring people that they did the right thing. Because the truth is nobody knows. I mean, you never know. You don't know, but you're trying to prevent suffering, and that's how you know it's the right thing. I mean, when we had to decide whether or not to treat her for another 24 hours or kind of help her along that night, and it was a really hard decision. And, you know, I asked Cassie, like, well, how would you feel if we went another day and she wasn't any better? And, you know, Cassie said, I would feel really guilty. And I was like, okay, how would you feel about it, you know, if we let her go? I mean, would you be questioning? Would you feel guilty about that? Would you feel like, did we make the right choice? And she was like, I think I wouldn't feel guilty about that. And I was like, I think that's the right choice then. And I agreed, and she was really good, and I don't know, I guess this is the part I didn't want to talk about, but maybe I do want to talk about it just because I don't want to talk about it again or something. You know, we went in the room and petted her for a while and cried a lot, and, you know, she was really lethargic and just, you could tell she wasn't feeling good. And we had to sign a paper, you know, that was like an agreement basically. And Cassie signed her first name and broke down, and I signed her last name. And I guess I felt good about that. I felt like, you know, we made the decision together, and that was good. And I was really glad I could be there. And, you know, the last week or so, it's been nice. I've been able to remember having her as a cat and not remember the last part. I think that's the thing about asking about, you know, the last part and like what happened, is that's not really the part you want to think about, and there's not much use thinking about it, and rehashing it over and over, you know, is not helpful. I think that rehashing that over and over just reinforces like how terrible the end is, and that's not what you want to, like, that's not what pet ownership is about. Pet ownership is not about the last, you know, the last days, the last hours. It's about like the years up to that. So anyway, I think the other thing is, like, I think everyone talks about, there's like this kids versus pets sort of stupid fake debate, like, oh, you know, you think you know, and then you have kids and you're like, oh my God. And like, people who have kids are insulted because you compare your pets to children, you know, and da 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 da. And I think my advice here to everyone is like, don't get into that shit. Like, that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help anyone to advocate for, like, kids are so much more significant to their parents than people's pets are. Because, like, what does that gain you? You know what I mean? If you're on that side, I mean, what do you gain by trying to sort of diminish the relationship someone's having with their pet? I mean, here's the thing. I think that you'll notice that, like, pet people are kind of fighting for, you know, pets are family members too. And pets are, like, as important as people to me and, like, that kind of thing. Pets are my family. And they're not fighting for more than, you know what I mean? I don't think most pet owners are seriously saying, you know, my dog is more important than your kid. Like, I don't think anyone's saying that. I think they're just fighting for their place at the table here. And to be like, hey, my family is not a child right now, or, you know, I guess I'm not saying, like, that I think a child is important and a pet are the same importance, but what I'm saying is, like, weighing in on that debate is dumb. And, like, advocating for the, like, lesser recognition of someone else's pain is, like, unproductive, and it's stupid. Like, advocate for your struggles by advocating for your struggles as a parent. But don't do it by reducing someone else's, because I kind of think that's bullshit. You know, that's putting someone else down to make yourself feel better, right? I mean, if your kid's so great, let them be great, and then whatever. But, you know, I guess I think that that's, like, I think it's kind of an artificial pitting of people against each other who are not against each other. I don't think pet owners and parents are, I think most of the time they're the same people. Like, very often they're the same people at different stages in their life and whatever. And also, it's like, I think I've become very sensitive to what I see as people pitting different groups against each other that don't have, you don't have to fight for that. I don't think grief is of a limited quantity, and it's like, well, because I'm grieving for my cat, I can't have empathy for you grieving for the loss of your child, you know, or like, I don't know. I don't think it's limited that way. Like, I'm sure that someone has lost a child and lost a pet and, you know, been still sad about losing the pet. Like, I don't think, I don't think grief works that way. I mean, if you've been through enough sad things, I think that grief is just kind of something that comes in different flavors. And it's not like, oh, chocolate is more of a flavor than, you know, caramel. It's just like, no, they're different flavors. And they have some similarities and similar effects, but they're not, they're just not the same thing, you know? But it's not a value judgment. It's not like, I wouldn't say that chocolate is more than caramel. I just think that they're different flavors of, you know, something. And the distinction of which is more or less doesn't really apply. I mean, that's not really the important aspect here. So I don't know. I guess I just get it. I get it now. Like, I get what it's like to lose a pet and for a pet to really be important to you and to matter. I just had a friend of the show, Alec, was like, I heard you being like cat dad on one of the shows. You know, the cat was meowing and you were talking to her in, like, you know, cat dad voice. And, yep, that's definitely true. It's been tough for me. It's been tough for me too, and I didn't expect it. I think that's the thing, is I knew it would be hard for Cassie, and I knew it would be hard for Cassie to go through and to watch and all that, but I didn't necessarily know it would be this tough for me. I mean, she was young too, so I think that we weren't prepared, you know, and like, if I did this again, if I had a cat again, and I would encourage people who do have cats to have the discussion way beforehand. Like, when you make the decision, there are lots of other decisions to make at about the same time. You have to decide what you would like to have done with their remains, if anything. You know, you have to decide if you want, like, an ink of their paw, which I was like, don't you want that? And Cassie was like, well, they take it from her after she's dead. Like, I don't want that from her after she's dead. I was like, oh, that's a pretty good point. But, you know, it would have been nice if she hadn't had to have explained that to me, because I'm dumb, like, right then. So, I mean, we didn't talk about it because, you know, it was fine and whatever, and she wasn't that old, and we weren't having quality of life issues or anything. But I think I wish we had talked about it. Well, I don't know. I don't know when would have been the right time. There's no right time. That's the thing. So I feel like if I did this again, I would want to talk about it way, way early and just make the decisions then. And that way, you're like, we made this decision when we were, like, in our clear-headedness and all that stuff. And, you know, we know what we want to do and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I don't know. I never thought I would be kind of sitting around wishing that there was, like, kitty heaven was real. But here you go. I mean, I guess this is why religion happens, because you're like, this just doesn't seem right, that this is just all over. It doesn't seem fair. You know, it's just very unfair. You're like, assholes live forever, and like, the good always die young. I mean, it's just such a cliche and so true, right? And because, you know, when good people die, it's like, there isn't old enough, you know, there's not old enough. And you're like, what I wouldn't give for like a couple more years, you know? Anyway, I think that's probably all I need to say about that. I just, I brought, you know, a water dish home with me, and I fill it up for her every day, and I talk to her. And, you know, that's crazy, but I don't care, I guess. I just, it makes me feel better. And, you know, kind of as a wrap up to all this, so, I had a gum graft. I had one of my two gum grafts. It fucking sucks. I went in a, you know, drove through the snow. So here's how this story goes. I had it on a Thursday morning. So Thursday, I usually work later, and I had to go into work at noon, so I had it at like, I don't know, 9:30 on a Thursday morning. So I'm driving, I get up early because it's snowing. It's supposed to snow, and it's snowing quite a bit when I get up, and I was like, motherfucker, of all the days, because like, I don't really mind the snow, but it's just like, it's going to take me longer to get there. So I get in the car and I drive and I get like all the way there, and then I'm turning into the driveway for the place and I hit the curb pretty hard. And I looked, I was like, geez, is the front of my car okay and stuff? And it looked fine. So I go in and so here's how this works. They numb your mouth. So they, you know, you get the little cotton swab. I don't know how many of you have had like the extensive dental work that I've had, extensive. So like maybe this is all old hat or maybe this is all like news to you. So they swab this local anesthetic. It's like a gel, like Vaseline, basically on your mouth. And then they inject you two or three times in the gums and then once like in the roof of your mouth. And it's not super painful. It just feels like this needle is like deep inside your brain. Like it's that long. And then you just sit there for a while and, you know, wait till you can't feel anything. And the procedure is like fairly delicate, but it's not, you know, I guess it's a pretty high success rate, 90 some percent success rate and da 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 da. So what they do is they scrape some tissue off of the roof of your mouth or cut it off the roof of your mouth and sew it onto your gums. And so that's basically it. The whole thing takes about an hour. There's not really any discomfort because you can't really feel anything. I mean, you can kind of feel the thread from the stitches going in and out, but you don't feel a lot of, you know, you don't feel pain. It's just kind of uncomfortable. You're just laying there and with your mouth open and all that shit. So, you know, and I'm laying there and it's like, they're always like, how you doing and stuff? And you give them the thumbs up and it's like, I mean, how am I doing? Like shitty, but it's fine. And, so she's working and she's, the doctor was pregnant. And so she had like her baby bump was like right up against my head and it was extremely warm, but it was like not discomforting or anything like that. I don't know. It was just like, whatever. And I didn't want to say anything about it. Cause I was like, it's gotta be real uncomfortable to be like bent over sewing people's mouths with like a fucking baby in your stomach. That's gotta be not ideal positioning, right? And so anyway, she's like asking me to turn my head and she was like, you have really good neck rotation. What'd she say? Neck flexibility or something. And I was like, okay, thanks, you know. And I was just thinking like, oh, this is probably yet another medical procedure I'm having that's normally reserved for old people. So she's like used to working with people who can't turn their heads very well. And then so I'm laying there and she's saying like, you know, we're getting pretty close and maybe another 10 minutes. And it takes about 45 minutes that, you know, they're actually working on you. She's like, you know, it's like you're a really good patient. You know, it's almost like you're sedated, but I know you're not. They do sedation too, I guess. But I mean, I probably wouldn't take it. The worst part about it is it's just kind of boring. And they're talking about Secret Santa. The doctor's convinced she knows. She knew who it was last year, who her person was, because the person did this really intricate wrapping job, and she's like, only, you know, Katie could do that. And so she's like, I guessed way before, because the presents are under their tree. And she's like, this year, I think I know who it is. And she's like, I know it's not Matt. They have one male assistant there, Matt. She's like, because the handwriting was very neat and tidy and all this, and she's like, I'm pretty sure I know who it is. And she's like talking about how she got a gift for her Secret Santa. There was like a nurse there. So they're talking the whole time. So this was better because sometimes you go to the dentist and they're like doing the cleaning and they're talking about like, so do you have any vacation plans? And you're like, I mean, like, what are you going to say? You know, like, I mean, you're in my mouth right now. It'd be like trying to carry a conversation on with someone while you're giving them a blowjob. You're like, I can't really do both of these things. You can totally receive a blowjob and talk, and you can totally perform dental work and talk, but the person on the other end of the stick there, for lack of a better term, can't do a lot of talking. So, she's telling me I'm like a good patient and stuff. And I just like, I realized that I was thinking about what I always think about, you know, I guess this is my version of going to my happy place, which is, when I was having dental work done and stuff the last couple times, like, or when, you know, I was at the getting a rod shoved in my butt or whatever and had to relax. Basically, when I had to relax, I imagined petting Cicely. And she had this tuft of really light hair on her chest. And I kind of just imagined petting her tuft. And that was like very calming for me. It was like very, that was like my happy place. You know, when they say go to your happy place, I guess that was mine. Because that's what worked for me. You know, I just felt, I would just kind of envision that and like made me feel a lot better. So it was nice. I mean, it was nice and it just, but it was sad. Like I was driving back and my mouth was all numb and bleeding and stuff. And I was just like sad because I felt like, you know, she was still there for me, even though she's gone. And that's, it felt very generous on her part in a way. So that's the thing, you know, they're still there for you. And I think that, I don't know, I think that the relationship I had with the cat was interesting. Like, there are a lot of times I feel shitty about myself. You know, I go to this dentist and I'm like 10 minutes late because the roads were so bad and, there's a lot of snow and like I trudged in through the snow and then left a bunch of water on the lobby and felt bad about that because I was like, you know, and I had tried to clear my shoes off, but there's just nothing you could do. And like I remember the times when I felt like shitty about myself. Like I remember I took a boatload of shit for a column I wrote on Lit Reactor about basically teenage superheroes, and everyone was like, why are you a racist who hates Miss Marvel? And I was like, okay. You know, and it's easy now. Like, I feel very over it now. But at the time, it sucked. Because, like, when you go online and everyone's basically calling you a monster and saying what a piece of shit you are, it's a horrible feeling. And it's horrible to read that stuff. And you know, if you're somebody with, like, a normal amount of self-esteem, I think you're like, am I a piece of shit? Like, am I horrible? And something that really helped me, though, was, you know, I would come home and be like, well, Dibwe still loves me. Like, she doesn't care. And she doesn't care what these people on the internet say. Like, she knows that I'm nice and a good person and all that stuff. And, you know, she'll be here with me long after those other people don't give a fuck about this anymore because they're on to something else. I mean, I guess luckily for me, I just feel like all of the people who are complaining about that, I'm like, well, a couple months later, they're living in Trump's America. So I'm like, probably had bigger fish to fry than me. But anyway, it was just, you know, she's there for me a couple times that in that way that maybe I don't feel like other people or other things are there for me that way for the most part. And that's not a slam on anybody listening that like, why weren't you there for me when I needed you? I think that, I think an animal, a pet can be for you, there for you in that way that, a person can't. Like, I don't think a person can do that. I don't think that's in a person to be that way. And it is in an animal. You know, animal, when they talk about unconditional love, I guess it's just kind of like, yeah, that's what you get. I mean, that's the result. And I don't know. I think after living with the cat and stuff, before it was easy for me to just sort of dismiss all that as nonsense and kind of be like, cats only love you because you feed them and they'll eat your face as soon as you die. But then you live with one for a while and you're like, I don't think that that's true. Like, I think that, I think animals do feel love, and I think they also, if I died and she ate my face, I'd be like, good, she's probably very hungry, because no one's there to feed her. I would want her to eat my face if it meant she could survive. I mean, what am I doing with my face? I'm dead. It wasn't that great to begin with. I'd be like, leave the gums alone. That shit was expensive. Like, my teeth need to go into some kind of dental museum. All right? Leave the interior of the mouth alone if you would. But, you know, the face, the nose, the eyes. Yeah, it's fair game. I mean, it's probably the most accessible part for eating, right? I guess that's most of what I wanted to say about that whole thing. It's been tough, and it made me feel very not jovial for a couple weeks. And I don't know, I kind of don't like doing this if I don't feel at least kind of good or incensed or something. I mean, in a weird way, I did feel like I've been feeling pretty high anxiety lately. And, you know, that's been manifesting in various ways. And, like, I felt less of that because I think I wasn't worrying about something. I was just filled with grief, you know, and just felt like sadness. And so sadness was kind of filling the void. Took the place of anxiety for a while, which was not the worst thing. Which is, I don't know what that says about my mental state, but. There you go. Maybe that's it for now. I think that's it for now. I do have a plan. I have some audio and stuff of her, so I'm going to be making a soundboard and just kind of putting some of her meows in the background here or there. Just because I thought that would be, I don't know, it keeps her alive in a way, in a little way that I can do that, and this is kind of the only outlet I have for something like that, so I just felt like it would be a good thing to do, like it's the right thing to do or something. So I'll be doing that, and I don't know if I'll say much about it, but if you hear it in there, then you know what it is. You know what's going on, and no, I don't have a new cat yet. Like, I'll tell you if that happens at some point, but for now, that's what it is. My face fucking hurts. It's been a week and my face hurts a lot still. I can't eat anything but soft food. And, I don't have my dibwee. I would like to have my dibwee. But, I don't know. I think things are looking up for next year, so that's good. Oh, yeah, I guess I should finish. So then I go back out to my car. And I had bent the wheel when I hit the curve. I didn't realize it until I was going out to my car. And then I was like, why does my wheel look all fucked up? And then I was like, oh, because I bent the shit out of it. So it wasn't so bent that I couldn't drive on it, but it was bent to the point that I was concerned. So I'm driving back and I call the dealership, you know, and was like, I need a new wheel. Like, what's the score on that? And he was like, well, okay, so this was Thursday. And I had to work Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then Sunday was Christmas Eve. So he's like, well, I think we could get it in for you probably by Saturday. And it would cost $530 for one wheel installed. And I was like, all right. You know, well, go ahead and order that and whatever. And I was just like, that's fucking crazy. $530 for a wheel? Like, that seemed a lot. So then I call up our M&O tires where I get my tires, and I was just like, hey, do y'all do wheels by any chance? And he's like, we do. And I told him what kind of car I had, and he's like, all right. And I was like, what's that going to cost? And he's like, well, I'd have it for you this afternoon, and it'd be $61 installed. He's like, do you want me to go ahead and order that? And I was like, fuck, yes, I do. I don't know what was going on with the dealership there, but fuck you, Ehrlich Toyota. Holy shit. I mean, $530 versus $60. Like, is that, that seems illegal in some way, doesn't it? I mean, it's wrong. It's definitely wrong. I don't know if it's illegal or not, but it's got to be wrong. I'm very confident in the wrongness of that. $530 versus $60. Also, like 3 days sooner versus, you know, Saturday, which I was like, well, I bet you any amount of money that it's not going to be there Saturday, and I can't get there on Saturday. So that's no good. So I got my wheel fixed for $60. So, like, this is the thing. I mean, this is how we're kind of ringing in the new year. Think of that list of, like, you know, these are the five most stressful things that a person can go through. Loss of a family member, check. Significant change in a relationship. You know, Poonmaster Flex is long distance now, check. Moving. I mean, I moved all her shit. Check. And, you know, moved out there with her. I just haven't moved my stuff. And I'm not moving, but I'm planning to and looking at moving. Change in job. I've been applying for a bunch of jobs. Check. Medical issues. Multiple for me. Multiple pretty big ones. Check. Financial stuff. Yes. I mean, $1,400 for these two gum grafts. So that's a big check, a Rooney Dooney. Automotive trouble, check. I had a jury duty. I have to call in every Friday for the month of January. So this is super jury duty where I call in and I'm basically on call the entire month of January. If I get called, I have to go down to Denver and potentially serve on a jury. And this is like federal court. So, you know, the average service is 5 days, but, you know, who knows how long it's going to be. So, you know, we were doing our thing at work. We're having our meeting and everyone's saying what's on their calendar and that stuff. And I was like, well, January is pretty much a big fat question mark for me because I have no control over my life. So, I mean, that's, I mean, I just feel like I've been adulting more hardcore for the last couple weeks than I have in the last several years. Like, just more adult than I've ever had to be in my life. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to that going away. Or some of it. I mean, just some kind of something. Something that's not shitty. That's, I guess, what I'm asking for or hoping for is just like maybe some glimmer of hope in some way that, like, all right, there's something. I was going to say something worth living for, and that sounds a little too dark. So I don't really want to say that. Just something that's like makes me feel good again, makes me feel good about. Now, it doesn't have to make me feel generally good. I don't have to be like, oh, sunshine, lollipops. I just have to feel like something happens and that thing is good. You know what I mean? That's all I'm really looking for right now. But I'm looking for it. I haven't given up on it. I mean, you know, God forbid I curse myself here, but it's kind of like, I think most of the shitty things that are possible have happened. You know, I feel like I've last couple weeks shoveled my reasonable amount of shit and it's like break time for Peter. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for. But you know, we'll see. And, hopefully we'll get back on track with this now that we're back on track. And, I hope y'all had good holidays. You know, I hope you had, a nice time, and we'll see you soon. Don't worry yourself over me. I am going to be just fine. I don't know. Spay and neuter your pets. Is that what Bob Barker said? It's a good thing to do. Donate to an animal, something. I mean, it's a worthwhile donation. You know, they have like no agency in their lives. So you can definitely reduce some significant suffering there. So how about that? How about I say that and we go on that? Oh, God. You know, it's like, I don't really like to do these when I'm not feeling very peppy and shit. Well, this is Pepe Le Pew here. Never been so peppy. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Like, once again, thanks for listening. I'm glad that people listen, and hopefully you'll keep listening. I have good stuff coming up. I have some interesting things. I have some stuff about long-distance relationshipping. You know, there's a lot of different products that are on the market that are, like, designed for long-distance relationships, and it's very clear that these relationships either stop being long distance or stopped entirely, because it seems like there's 1,000 kickstarted things for long distance relationships that never come to pass. So we'll see what that's about. That's our next big thing. And yeah. And I'll let you know. I mean, I guess if I'm in court, whatever, I'll have a lot to talk about. I cannot talk about the case, but I'm sure other things will happen of interest. No doubt. All right. We'll see you next time, folks. You're not gonna say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the question.